It was just we had to kill time.
Well, you use the word kill.
That was all we were killing at the
time. All right, now there's a lot of people on the line.
I thought I was on the wrong show.
No. I feel like I'm on the wrong show.
3 days of peace and
music
has nothing
here
to do with the killing.
All right, listen.
We cover everything here.
That's right. Okay, listen. We have a lot of people on the line right now, so we're going to have to behave. Don't talk over everybody. Elliot.
Yes.
Tabor. Is that how I say your name?
Tiber, like the river.
Tiber. Mm-hmm. Elliot Tiber is the author of Taking Woodstock. You are, you're kind of like the gay Forrest Gump, aren't you? You have found yourself in almost every historical situation in the 60s and 70s.
Yes. I don't know about Forrest Gump. I mean, I know I look like Brad Pitt, exactly.
Except for a little ancient, maybe?
Older. Ancient? No. You call 31 ancient?
No,
really?
You aren't. No, he...
Yeah, okay. I have my calculator in my hand, okay?
No, don't. Put that away, please.
No, whatever you are, I
was 34 when I did Woodstock.
Yeah, and I'm looking at a picture of you, and if you were 34 when you were at Woodstock, and according to my math, you're 107, you look really good for your age.
No, that picture is of Hemingway. It's not me.
Exactly. He does look like Hemingway. So let's start from the top, or as close
yes.
to the top as we can have, and let's ask you the question that I want to know the most is how did you save Woodstock?
Okay. They were being thrown out, as you all probably know, different towns because the local townspeople were afraid of having 25,000 hippies, drug addicts, homosexuals invade their town and rape their little girls. So I had 25 miles away from Wallkill, their last spot where they were being thrown out, and they already spent $2 million on the infrastructure of 69 money. I was in White Lake in Bethel, 25 miles away, and I had a little broken-down hotel and a theater and my own music festivals for 10 years that about five people showed up, one of which was Max Jazga, my milkman. Anyway, and I had a permit for a festival for every year for 10 years. There was no zoning laws then. And so I called up the festival and spoke to Mike Lang. I didn't know him, but he was the producer. And I said, I have a permit, and I'll sell it to you for $1. If you come up here, I have 15 acres of land. I didn't say swamp land, but land. And he said, I said, well, they're sort of white. He said, make a cross on the lawn, and I'll be there in a helicopter in 15 minutes. My Jewish mother saw the cross and had a conniption. You know what that is. Anyway, there was the helicopter, and out came Mike Lang, and half naked, with a little Yorkie. And I since then have Yorkies. And where's the permit? And I showed him. I typed it on an Underwood typewriter. I don't know. You don't know what that is. That used to be a manual machine. There were no computers or video back then.
Really?
And it was legitimate, and I showed him the land. When the limos started arriving, they all looked at it. And their hearts fell out because it was all mud and swamp. And they were ready to leave, and my heart fell out because the bank was going to take over my place. So I said, wait a minute, my neighbor, Max Jazga, has a farm with nothing but cows on it. And Max loves my music festivals, you know, with the seven people I had. So I called Max. He said, oh, sure, you could have your festival here. He didn't know what it was. I didn't either. And we went to the farm, and they saw the cow pasture, you know, the amphitheater, which is now famous. And they all had a collective orgasm. And Max said, listen, you have to give me $50 a day to clean up afterwards for the 3 days. And they took 50 in cash out of their pockets. Anyway, we went to a restaurant and sat there. The waitress's husband was on local radio. And as we sat there, they said, Elliot Tiber's sitting here with Max Jazga and Mike Lang, and they're bringing 50,000 hippies and drug addicts to White Lake to devastate us all and rape our little children. That was all within 5 minutes. Anyway, they came, and they brought all their infrastructure and 18-wheelers from cross-country, and nobody would let them park anywhere, so they parked in my mud, and my place became the world headquarters. And that was 6 weeks before, and we were going strong, and everybody was against us, the local Nazis, and they were. Germans came after World War II, and they set up, I don't want to use the word camp, but they set up homesteads. And there were signs, no Jews, no dogs, when I arrived there. and they painted my buildings with swastikas. And
wait, where did the story go?
All right, the story is that
let's rein this one in. How did we get from Woodstock to Nazis?
Because Apple tried to stop us. And Mike said, get on NBC Radio, that was Tuesday morning before the festival, and tell people who you are and to come on out. So I got on and I said, even if you don't have tickets, it's all free, big mistake. Of cars and buses and Volkswagens, you've all seen the movie, and all of them on the way there, there wasn't even a sign. I made a paper sign that said, welcome to Woodstock, and they tried to stop us every minute of the time there, and we made payoffs and bribes and all of this. It didn't do any good, and finally, there were more. By Friday morning, there was about, a half a million people there in town, and a half million backed up to the GW Bridge, and if not for me, it wouldn't have been a Woodstock, and you guys on this show wouldn't be wearing the hippie stuff you're wearing now, probably.
Wow.
Oh,
Phil,
I'm not sure that's correct.
Phil, what do you think about that? Here, you're talking to the man, and I know you were at Woodstock. This man
I
made it possible.
I was 23 when I went to Woodstock.
And if it wasn't for this man that's on the phone right now, it wouldn't have been possible. What do you have to say to him?
Well, before that, I was in San Francisco for that one. So
did they rape you in White Lake too, like they raped the rest of us?
No.
Oh, you missed out on the good part.
You got raped?
Yes, of course, willingly.
Wait, did you really get raped?
Yes.
Who raped you?
Well, the state troopers to start with. Who? All the good people.
Are you talking about they physically raped you? They had unwanted sex with state troopers or using the
no,
word?
No, I won't say unwanted. Rape doesn't mean unwanted, does it?
Of course it does.
Yes, it does.
Well, no, it doesn't. No,
what the hell is he talking about?
I have no idea.
You have to read the book, and don't read page 69 because you're too young to read that page.
Wait, you're telling me that you had sex with state troopers at Woodstock?
Among others.
How many
people? It was hard to tell when everybody got naked. It was hard to tell who were the troopers and who was the,
Lord.
Okay, so that's not rape.
No, I don't lie. I went to a yeshiva. I don't lie. I'm Jewish.
That's not rape. That's having sex, okay?
Right.
Unless you're held down forcibly and taken against your will, that is not rape.
Unless it's one of those rape fantasies, which, Elliot, you made.
No, not fantasies, no. Not
so, Elliot,
yeah.
Elliot, how many people did you have sex with during Woodstock?
Oh, you saw me on NBC, didn't you? 55,000 people.
How many people did
and
you have?
How many, and how much? Like an hour or 2 hours? Or
no, in the 6 weeks. In 6 weeks.
Oh,
I'm not a pig.
Wait.
Woodstock was 6 weeks long?
No, we were there working on it 6 weeks. It was 3 days, a piece of music.
I'm well aware 3 days, yeah.
We were working on it for 6 weeks to get it set up.
And in those 6 weeks, you had sex with 55,000 people?
Well, I didn't say orgasms. I just said, I don't know what you define as sex. My book is not about sex. It's about...
Oh, I know, but we always have to go to the lowest
common denominator. My publisher deleted all the parts about the sex.
Just to answer the question, and then we can move on from the sex, how many people did you have sex with in those 6 weeks?
55,000.
Now, come on, really?
Well, at night I went to the Mineshaft, which was a leather sex club in the city, and there. And they were 25
West Side.
There. What?
Lower West Side.
The Meatpacking Village. It's now a high-class restaurant and a sushi bar, unfortunately.
Oh, so that's how it's...
Giuliani, that rat, he cleaned up the city.
Elliot. So
yeah.
You're telling me that's how that area got called the Meatpacking District?
No,
it was
the tops of the world first.
I know. Let me go through this.
You live in Manhattan.
I'm making a joke, you nutcase. Do you want me to put you on hold, Vinny?
Like everybody else is making jokes now.
All right.
I'm not making jokes.
You're the only one who's taking this seriously. All right. Everyone else, shut up.
If you go to Barnes & Noble's, you'll see my book on the shelf, okay? And it's not in the sex section. It's under music.
I know.
Well, sex and music go hand in hand.
Sex and music do go hand in hand, and that was what Woodstock was all about. And I hate to bring up sex some more, but, you know, your publisher sent me these notes.
Let's Rudy go through is this. A good guy. He's from the same neighborhood in Bensonhurst as I was from, but he had donuts and I had housewares.
Let's go through this. I don't know. Here's a list of people that you have had sex with, and, you know, a few weeks ago we had a guy on the show who claimed to have had gay sex with Elvis Presley, among James Dean.
No, I never saw Elvis.
Right. I don't believe. You, I believe. But listen to this. The famous photographer Robert Mapplethorpe, you had sex with him.
Yes. I met him in the leather bar at 3 in the morning in his Nazi leather uniform. He was so hot. I didn't know who he was.
Truman Capote.
Yes.
Tennessee Williams.
Yes. They were neighbors of mine in the same building, Manhattan Plaza. We lived in the same building.
And a near sexual encounter with Rock
Uh-oh.
Hudson.
I have nothing to say about Rock.
I bet you don't.
What happened there? How come you couldn't close the deal with Rock?
Well, no, it was a big party. 19, I didn't know anything. I even had a bubble butt. I don't know where that went to over the years. But people were doing it. I was just watching. I mean, you know, it was really terrific. If there were video cameras, I would have made a movie out of it and put it on YouTube, but they didn't have it then. But forget about the sex. You know, taking Woodstock is really about what it was from a nobody and a nothing to struggle and to have a wet dream about music and festivals. And just by chutzpah, you know the word chutzpah?
Yeah, of course.
All right, by chutzpah, making it happen. Orgasm in the world, music orgasm in the world. And it's the reason it's called Taking Woodstock is because I have been taking Woodstock with me since 69 all over the world. It got me into the Academy Awards with a movie, and it was a finalist, and plays in Paris and Brussels and Amsterdam. I did a lot of stuff besides sex.
Which
in Amsterdam, though, there was a lot of leather sex. Oops, but I had a show on. I only went where there were shows of mine.
Right. Which Woodstock act stands out in your mind as the most memorable?
Oh, Richie Havens, because he was the first one, and he sang the song Freedom, and we became good friends, and his freedom became my freedom and everyone else's. But then I held Janis Joplin in my arms, and then I was fooling around with Morrison of the Doors. And I mean, there were so many things. And I met Jimi Hendrix when he was hiding out in Belgium. When I was living there, I went to visit him when he was freaking out, you know.
You were fooling around with Jim Morrison.
Oh, yeah, all that leather. I'm into leather. Well,
wow.
I used to be when I had a bubble butt, no more. My book is not about sex. Why are you so
You keep bringing it up, though.
You were talking about guns before, which made me sick.
Well, I had no idea about the Jim Morrison until you brought it up.
Oh, well, that Rudy deleted that from the book, too. The book was 580 pages. He hired a book doctor, this Tom Monty, very nice guy, who edited out all of that salacious stuff.
Well,
maybe
in
a sequel, if the first
Yeah, exactly.
Sells,
I think we need a second volume.
But, you know, they're talking about, the book is out for bid in Hollywood now for a feature film. And they said, who do you want to play you? I said, Brad Pitt, because we look alike. And I'm waiting, and is Brad Pitt listening to your show?
Yes, actually, Brad Pitt is one of our bigger fans.
Well, I hope he calls up right away. Collect. He could call Collect.
Another, before I let you go, another... Phil, you got to stop typing. What are you doing there?
Typing what?
I don't know. Phil, I'm putting you on hold.
I'm making a documentary about
it. You know what it is? Not a documentary, a feature film. Do you know what it is to make a movie? I've made four, and one was in the Oscars. 6 weeks of shooting is like the orgasm is Woodstock. It just has been awesome to do that. It really is an incredible way of living.
Why do you keep bringing up orgasms?
Oh, because that's what it's all about. Woodstock was an orgasm for me. I've had a lot of sins, and I guess your listeners have had some along the way. Not the ones who have guns. They're busy with shooting animals. Ducks, killing 75 ducks? Come on. I heard that.
Well, listen, your book is Taking Woodstock. You remind me a lot of our weatherman.
Yeah.
Can't wait to talk to him.
Is he the one who kills the ducks?
No. he is as docile as it can get. I think you two would get along, actually.
Who is that nice lady who's laughing?
That is Dangerous Lee. In fact,
Dangerous Lee, I love you because you just told them about killing people is not good and not nice, and you should stick to it. Don't back down when they say you don't like guns. You don't like it, and you're a good woman. If I was straight, I would hit on you in a second.
Oh, my. Yeah, I think
and I'm good-looking like Brad Pitt.
The whole gun thing is out of control, but whatever.
Yes, it did.
Hey, Elliot, would you do me the honor of going on hold for 2 minutes?
Yes.
While I take care of some business and then bring you back when I have the weatherman on?
Okay.
I would love for you to do that segment with us, all right?
Okay, sure.
All right, hold on.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Oh, come on, Dr. Blockstein. Hello.
Hello.
Must be raining men. Very exciting. Must be raining men. I am the weatherman.
Hello.
Must be raining men.
It's time for the weather with Justin. He is on with Vinny Bond, Dangerous Lee. Phil, I have you on hold because I can only have so many people on at the same time. And author of Taking Woodstock, Elliot Tibber.
Hey, Lee, come on over and just sit on the couch with me because this is going to be fun.
Oh, I can't.
Wow, I'm having such a good time listening to all this violence. Dr. Blockstein, if you're Oprah, I must be Gail King.
Yes, you are. You are my Gail King.
And it's just amazing. You're yelling at people. There's guns. There's sex. Next, you want rock and roll and liquor. What is going on with this show?
I tried to get rock and roll with Elliot here, but all he wanted to talk about was his sexual escapades.
Well, you know how it is. Sex sells, right?
Elliot, you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Elliot. What's going on?
Who am I talking to?
You're talking to the weatherman.
Okay.
Well, I got to give you a weather report. It's kind of turbulent out there.
Is it?
It's a little violent. It might snow. It might rain. Whatever it does.
Which part are you in?
Who brought me in Jesus? Because Jesus was Jewish. Next.
There was no Jesus. Don't blame the Jews, please. There was no Jesus. I'm an atheist Jew.
Very interesting, but that has nothing to do with your book, and I think you need media training.
Oh, I do. Okay.
Let's talk about your book a little bit more because it's absolutely thrilling.
Thank
Dr. Blockstein, may I ask a question?
Of me or of our guest?
Of our guest.
Oh, go right ahead, please.
Elliot, when everybody left, what was the land like? Did you have to reseed? Did you have to rake? What was that whole thing about?
There were 3 days of mud and rain, nonstop, and there is every year, by the way, at the anniversary. No, it was all mud. There was no grass left. The birds had all disappeared. The New Mexico commune stayed by 2,000 volunteers, and they handpicked up every piece of trash, and everything, cleaned up the entire county in spite of the rumors of the local Nazis that said we destroyed the county. And the town was returned the way it was and the way it is now. There's nobody there. It's just a dreadful place to be. And that's all. The saddest thing for me was that Sunday afternoon, after all of that, a million people around, the traffic started in around 4 o'clock, I guess, and by 7 or 8 in the evening, there was nothing. It was all empty, dead, not a soul. Of course, I just put up a no vacancy sign and closed down and went to sleep. But there was just nothing left anymore. It was all gone. And we didn't know it was going to be World Icon or any of that. It was just a festival. You know?
Now, you see, Elliot's got the right idea. Instead of killing people, you just go to sleep and put a no vacancy sign on your door.
Yes.
Hello.
Elliot, is there any truth to the rumor that after Woodstock, in the weeks to come, there were little babies growing out of the ground from semen that was left.
There was a lot of grass, and Max Jaska's cows for 4 years produced more milk than any cow in the country. They won all kind of awards, and every year for at least 8 years, people come up every summer to gather grass. And finally, the state troopers came back into force and put on their uniforms and stopped all of that. But
why do you think the milk was better?
They don't know. The cows all got stoned from the grass that was growing, all the grass seeds that were in there. And he just won every kind of award there could be. It was amazing.
Unbelievable. I can't believe
amazing.
This conversation, Dr.
And you say about media. My book is on Amazon.com. It just got 5 stars the first 3 days it's on there.
Wow.
And a lot of great reviews. So, you know, the media is responding to it. It's
not
a good
only
book.
That, but wait, by the way, I do know for a fact that on Sunday there's a big story about you in the in New York Newsday coming out this Sunday.
There is? I didn't know. You know more than me. I hope it's a good one.
Well, there you go. You heard it here first. Let me play my exclusive music. Because I love it.
Yeah, I got the music in me!
I
got
like
the music!
And Justin, next Tuesday night, there is a party in honor of Elliot at the Cutting Room in New York City. Performing will be Mostly Mop Top. Mostly Mop Top is the band that we had on our show a couple weeks ago, and who recorded this.
Oh.
Oh, for crying out loud.
What's the show, Doc?
I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that's a Beatles tribute orchestra. They're going to do all the Beatles songs and a few Woodstock songs, too.
Yes.
And my Yorkie, Molly Picon, she's going to sing.
Wow, did she sing in Yiddish?
Yes, she does.
I know she does.
Molly was a good
Speaking
friend.
Speaking of dogs, do you want to hear my dog Rufus sing?
What
yes,
kind of
I
dog?
Would.
He's a dachshund. Let's not get German again.
Well, that's your fault, not mine.
But it's Jesus' fault because he's a dachshund.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to hear him sing?
Yeah.
Sure.
Dr. B, is that okay?
I think that would be fantastic.
Okay, hold on.
Can I get a drum roll before?
Okay.
Somebody's got a gun there, I'm afraid, with that
That
dog.
Was German, but he did a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little Kurt Vile, I think.
You must be a hit with your neighbors.
Don't worry about them. They're all deaf.
Oh, my.
Yes. Well, did you like that, Dr. B?
You know what? In a strange way, I did.
He rehearsed for you.
Well, I appreciate that. Listen, let me take Elliot out of his misery here. Elliot, thank you for joining us today. Your book is Taking Woodstock. Get it on Amazon.com right now. Everyone, prove everyone right. Prove Jody Lipper right when she called me the Oprah of Internet Radio.
Well, from your mouth to God's ears.
Right.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it very much.
I appreciate you hanging in with us. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good luck to you. Good luck to you, sir.
Best of
Bye-bye.
Luck.
Bye-bye.